again, this is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 161 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used with the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons, so we call it merely Where Fitz Left Off. Starting today, comments on some singular, notable politicians in Henderson County, and in some cases, the entire state. In the back of my mind, I had sort of tucked away a nugget that reminded me that Brownlow Jackson was the only Henderson County man ever to serve as state chairman of the Republican Party, and that Monroe Redden was the only state chairman of the Democratic Party in North Carolina. And that Don Guerin was the only man from this county from either party to either run for governor or for lieutenant governor. So I figured as the time has come to move into the political conventions, which will lead to the presidential elections in November, now is the time to unearth that nugget and explore it a bit further. However, just as I was preparing to put together these programs on politics, Attorney Kenneth Youngblood shared with me an article he had acquired from the Sundley Collection in Asheville. In Ken's letter of transmittal, he said there was a fellow over in Buncombe who had lived in Hendersonville for a short time, whose name he thought was Justice, who had run for Congress, but instead, when he found the article, it turned out to be a Jones. And I'll quote Ken's letter here, as I did to George Jones on the morning of June 26th. Ken said, quote, I never checked with George Jones to see if he was one of his forebearers, but I don't doubt that George would acknowledge him, especially since he appeared, by his admission, to be rather successful. Reading this to George on the phone brought a hearty chuckle from him. This pamphlet is entitled Knocking at the Door. Alexander Hamilton Jones, member elect to Congress, his course before the war, referring to the Civil War, during the war, and after the war. George did quickly recall A.H. Jones and said he had received from an aide in Congressman Taylor's office historical highlights confirming the fact that Mr. Jones did serve. I was glad to have this confirmation from George because after having just read this autobiographical piece that had been written by Mr. Jones and published by McGill and Withrow in 1866, I had concluded that Mr. A.H. Jones perhaps might be one of the greater blowhards of earlier history in Henderson County. In fact, my incredulity of the boasts and brags of Alexander Hamilton Jones had grown stronger when I read on page 192 of Jimmy Fain's book, he, referring to Monroe Redden Sr., thus became Henderson County's first Democratic congressman in Congress, although two others, Hamilton C. Ewart, 1888 to 1890, and John Grant, 1908 to 1910, had served as Republicans. Jimmy never referred to Alexander Hamilton Jones, who, by the way, also alleged he was editor of a local newspaper, which, by the way, in 1863 had a subscription rate of $1.50 a year, but by 1865, with Mr. Jones editing the paper, the rate had jumped to $20 a year in paper currency, but he'd still sell it to you at $1.50 if paid for in provisions. For a state to be readmitted to the Union, it had to frame a new constitution guaranteeing black suffrage and the 14th Amendment. Now, this amendment denied suffrage for some who had served in the war, and it said they could not hold public office and could be pardoned only by the Congress and not by the President. North Carolina held such a convention to adopt a constitution in 1868. The delegates consisted of 13 conservatives, 108 Republicans, and 18 carpetbaggers. And by the way, that constitution, drawn up by such a motley assortment of post-Civil War political scurvy, survives today with amendments, but still no mention of Alexander Hamilton Jones. I'll not continue the debate on the merits of Mr. A.H. Jones, who concludes this self-written puff piece with a postscript, P.S., January 5th, 1866. He's writing this now. In pursuance of my duty to a loyal constituency, and in justice to myself, I am at the capital of the nation, knocking at the door. I will repeat the fact that Monroe Redden Sr. was the first Democrat ever to be elected Congress to the Congress from the 12th District. He served three terms, two of which was in the 11th district because we had lost a seat in the House by virtue of the count of the 1950 census. And I'll point out also, he took the oath of office as a freshman congressman with John F. Kennedy and Richard M. Nixon. He was chairman of the Democratic Party in this county for 16 years, resulting in the clean sweep of 1932. He served 6 years as state party chief and managed the election of Governor J. Melville Broughton in 1940, and that was when a Redden friend and associate, L.B. Prince, was made chairman of the Highway Commission. Jimmy Fain only goes back to 1888, but he credits Hamilton Glover Ewart as being the first congressman from the county, a Republican who had also served as a judge and a mayor of Hendersonville in 1878. He was a stepson of the famed Colonel Valentine Ripley, who had also served 2 terms in the state legislature and was appointed a federal judge by President McKinley after serving in Congress. And everybody remembers the name of the man of the people, John Grant, another Republican elected to Congress to serve in 1908 through 1910. Mr. Fitz told you about him in Volume 1 from the banks of the Ocklawaha. He was a son of the William C. Grant. Fitz told you about his childhood sweetheart, Zoro Edney, which he did marry. Taught himself how to read and write and cipher, which is what math was called back then. So 2 Republicans and a Democrat have served in Congress from this district since the Civil War: Ewart, Grant, and Redden. Memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.